Welcome back to Life Talks, and this is Pastor Dan. I'm with Pastor Ben today, and we're the pastors of Life Fellowship Church in Cornelius, North Carolina. We enjoy chatting with you on a semi-daily basis, or every two or three days, rather. And but Ben, it's so good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
I missed you. Last week, I had to go solo.
Yeah,
it's exhausting.
And you covered the most juicy topics.
Talking about
Donald Trump and apostate pastors. I mean,
I was afraid nobody would listen if you weren't on there, so I had to use a controversial topic.
I want to talk about Donald Trump.
Go ahead.
Who doesn't want to talk about Donald Trump? People always are like, what do you think about Donald Trump? I'm like,
I bet you got that a lot where you just were, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about where you just were.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just came back from a missions trip to Germany with a bunch of our kids.
Yes.
How did that go? What was it like?
It was awesome. I mean, first of all, we have such great students here. And we took two other leaders, Barb and Christy, and they did a phenomenal job of leading our students. And the students just, I mean, their heart, their attitude was just unbelievable. And I think God did something in all of our hearts that week. And so it had a very special feel to it because it wasn't just go, go, go. We served children. We did park days. We did worked with the elderly. We worked with refugees. And that was probably the most, I'll tell you what, seeing how a church over in Germany was handling the refugee crisis over there. Because we only hear about it through the secular media, right? And like that, you forget there's churches over there. And this church that we worked with, man, the way they are loving the refugees is a testimony to the body of Christ. And it really impacted my own heart to think about how we're loving the refugees in our own country, you know? And I think so many times we look at these things through the lens of a political issue, but refugees, the Bible says a lot about refugees.
Yeah.
And I think that if I could say one thing that I took away from this trip was I saw a church just love these people. I just loved them. And knowing that they can't help you. They can't do anything for you. And I think so many times, Dan, we do things in the church based on how does this impact Sunday morning? How does this impact how many people are going to show up? And one of the things God reminded me of this past week was that it's always good to love your neighbor. Even if they never love you back, it is always good to love your neighbor.
That old great commandment, man. Second part of the great commandment.
And I just think it was such a, I was impacted on it. I thought I was just going to go there and help lead the trip, but man, it was a really powerful time. And so seeing a church do that, I had a really interesting conversation with a young man from Iran, and he was a refugee. And I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he would show up at the church because the church was always doing things, and we had a special service for the refugees. And we took a bunch of the refugees out afterwards for some ice cream. And so he's probably young 20s, 23 years old. And he asked me this question as we're sharing, you know, not sharing ice cream cones, but we're both eating an ice cream cone. And he said, "What do you as an American think of Iranians?"
Oh, my.
And I was like, well, I said.
Scare us.
Yeah. I said, well, you got to understand one of the things that we think, you know, the media portrays, the only time we see Iranians is when they're burning our flag.
Mm.
And he said, I love America. I think America's great. He says, there are many Iranians that love America. And so it just, I think sometimes if we just got the governments with their issues out of the way and just let the people come together and get to know. I just think there's so many things, biases that people have that they don't need to have. Anyways,
that's really important to hear because, and in fact, I'm going to call an audible. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
We had a topic. Let's get rid of it. Let's talk through this.
Omaha. he's Peyton Manning calling the audible at the line of scrimmage.
So let's talk about this whole deal about refugees.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Hey, because you told me something a while ago privately that has stuck in my craw because it doesn't surprise me, but it disappoints me. And tell me what has happened even among German Christians in the German church, which is a, I mean, evangelicals in Germany are under siege. Yeah, they're under siege.
Yeah, there's more evangelical. There's a greater percentage of evangelicals in India than there are in Germany.
Holy
cow.
If
that gives you any sense of the born again population.
Man, oh man. So and your brother works there. He's a missionary.
Yeah. And so there's a group of churches that's called Missions Dienst, or Church for the Region. Michael Landel is a German national pastor over there, and they have about six different churches that are part of their network in their region that they help run. And a lot of the church rescues, these people will come, we have eight people, we're about to close unless you help us. And so they train and equip leaders, and they provide the leadership for these churches to be healthy again.
Mm.
So the Kusel church is the hub of it all. My family's been highly involved in that ministry. My dad's helped raise tens of thousands of dollars. Work teams go over there to build this training center. So it's a church, but also a training center to do a lot of different kinds of things. But there's a refugee camp right in Kusel. Kusel's not a big town.
Mm.
Maybe 10,000 people, 15,000 people in the town of Kusel. But they have a refugee, you know, camp there, which bothers people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this church has simply embraced all these refugees and said, we're going to love them, because who else is going to show the love of Christ to them? And they've seen people get saved. I mean, I could tell you some of the most amazing stories of these people coming to know Christ. And God is doing a work in the Middle East. It is not a political, I mean, we only see the political things. The Spirit of God is moving in places like Iran. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
So some of these refugees are getting saved, and they're getting baptized, and God's transforming their lives in powerful ways. But you know, so I when I was there this last week, I talked to one of the Germans, and I said, you know, has how your church has embraced the Muslims here, or not the Muslims, the refugees, because there's people there from Afghanistan, Nigeria, and Iran, and so there's probably a good 25-30. Refugees in this church, and there's only about 120 total. So
like a third of them.
It's a third. I mean, you're talking about a big chunk being added to your church. And he said, yeah, there have been people that have left the church because of our embrace of the refugees. And he said, I said, why? He said, because the church isn't German enough anymore.
Hmm.
And I said, well, where do they go to church then? He said, they don't. They just stop going to church.
Let that sink in. I'd rather not go to church at all than have to go to church with people that didn't look like me.
I'd rather not even worship God.
Mm.
That's Dan. I don't say that as I'm frustrated with Germans. I say that because I believe the same thing would happen to churches in America today.
Yeah.
If we decided to embrace the refugee, how would that impact? Because our church isn't American enough. Like, think about that for a moment. So I think there's some, I'll tell you what it did is it made me pause and really reflect on how well we as a church are loving the least of these. How are we doing that in a way that it doesn't, there's no bottom line of it's improving a Sunday morning attendance or it's improving the budget.
There's no
what's in it for me. And I think that's what, this is a bigger conversation to have, because I think so many things that we do, Dan, whether it's personally, whether it's in our family, there's always this undercurrent of, if it does not benefit me, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the church that simply loves people, and there's nothing these people do for this church. And I just walked away from this week saying, I want Life Fellowship to be more like that.
Mm.
I just want our church to be known as a church that loves people. And it doesn't matter if they show up on Sunday mornings. We're just going to love them because the value of a believer, there is value in loving your neighbor. Mm. And I think we have lost that today. I think when the church has bought into a growth model that says success in winning equals more people on Sundays and a bigger budget. And again, I'm not speaking against those things. All I'm saying is, if that becomes the only metric for success, then people that need to be loved that don't contribute to that bottom line will be left behind by the church. And that might be the most saddest thing that is happening in our churches today.
Mm.
And I'm trying to look inwardly and say, God, show me how what do you want me to do with what I just experienced? Yep. So anyways.
It seems like we're so guilty as humans, it's not even just an American thing, though we see it because, you know, we live here, but we're so guilty of wanting to imprint our faith with our politics.
Oh, yeah.
The debate, you know, do you call them undocumented
immigrants
or illegal aliens? You know, all of that stuff. And you know, and I'm a conservative guy. You think? I believe in the rule of law. I believe in waiting. I believe in all of those
sure,
things.
Sure, absolutely.
But what might change in our ability to reach people if we left those positions in the parking lot, and when we were in the church or in the community or wherever we're at, that we just focused on doing what Jesus would do with these people? What difference? You know, the mission field has come to us.
Yes.
How they got here, quite frankly, I'm not running for office.
Yeah.
If I ran for office, I wouldn't get three votes. but I don't have to make those decisions. Yeah. I'm not in that role. It's not my responsibility.
Yes.
But my responsibility as a Christ follower is really clear.
Yeah.
To love my neighbor as myself.
And I think that's where we have to really, you can be for strong borders, but still want to love your neighbor.
Still care about the immigrants.
Still care about the immigrants. Yeah. Still care about the people who have nothing. Still come here. And why they are here or what they're doing here, it in some respects, it does not matter. What matters most is that if there's people, if there's someone that's in my circle of influence that I can show the love of Christ to, I need to do it. Whether they have the same color of skin or if they got here illegally, it does not matter. I mean, what's so fascinating to me is we'll have people in churches that will have these heartbeats and this passion for going to a jail ministry and helping people who are incarcerated. And praise God for that. But the moment someone crosses a border who has a different color of skin than us, man, we're gonna hate on them. That's not the love of Christ. There's no way Christ is in that kind of heart and that mindset. So I think we've got to do our own reflection of how much, like you said, does our politics affect the way that we show love? And if it does, we have to change the way we're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. When our politics mean more to us than our mission from God, then it's time for self-reflection.
That's right.
And they don't have to conflict.
No.
Because we can have a political philosophy that impacts how we vote, impacts those kind of things.
Yeah.
But we live in reality. Everything in Christianity is about pursuing ideals while living in reality. My ideal is to live without sin. I've yet to do that even one single day.
Yeah.
But that's my ideal. It doesn't mean the ideal's bad because I haven't attained it.
Yes.
It's still a great ideal. But in the meantime, I got to deal with my cranky attitude and my smart mouth and my sarcastic spirit all the time and all the things that I struggle with on a daily basis because that's the reality in which I live. Ideally, could we live in a world where everybody wants to stay in the country because in their own country because it's so great and it's so wonderful and their identity, it feels like home? Would it be ideal if everybody kept the laws? Would it be ideal if everybody played by the rules? Yeah. But that isn't reality.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Say if you're a rule breaker, then God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. We don't want to reach you for Christ.
Yeah, or you're not worth our time and effort. that to me, you know, we've one of the most basic things, here's what I would encourage people to do if they're interested in just understanding what's going on. Just hear some of their stories. Just sit and listen and hear some of their stories. These are human beings. These are image bearers of God. They are not a political class. And if the moment we see people, and this is happening so much in America today, the moment we see people primarily through the lens of us versus them, or whether it's their skin color or their political party or their immigration status or whatever it might be, the moment we see them, they're primarily through a lens that is not an image bearer of God who needs to be loved and who needs the gospel, we will treat that person in a way that Jesus would not treat them.
Mm.
And so we have, and I'm not just beating up on Christians because bias is natural to the human condition.
Yes.
Okay? So even talking to people from Iran, there's people from Iran, Persians that don't like the Kurdish people. I mean, it's everywhere, every country, every culture. It doesn't matter where you go, what color skin you are, there's biases everywhere. It's not just white people in America,
that's
okay?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, as Christians, we're the only ones that have the solution. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones that really can bring something that transcends and says, no, we're going to love this person because they're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
So I think there's a huge opportunity for us to do something with the issues that we have before us, but we've got to be willing to step out of the comfort zone. I know that sounds so cliche, but I just think I know for me personally, maybe have turned a willful blind eye to my neighbor.
Yeah.
Who's here in Charlotte.
Sometimes the most important ministries are the most inconvenient ones.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a sad reality. You know, sometimes I think we just got to force ourselves to step back from where we're at and where we become entrenched and ask, where is God working? What is God doing?
Yeah.
And how can I join him in the work? Blackaby's work, Experiencing God, emphasized that point. And as soon as I get done with this, I've got one more appointment after we get done podcasting. And then I'm going up to a jail. I'm gonna spend some time with someone who's incarcerated.
Mm.
That's not exactly my comfort zone. You know? So at the same time, it's important because in that jail, God may be working in someone's life that I have an appointment with, and for them, I'm representing truth.
Hmm.
Whether it's the person, and it's stereotyping, I get this, but a lot of the immigrants that come to this country are doing jobs that a lot of Americans won't do. So we find them often working in our yards.
Hmm.
We find them working construction jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I've made a practice, and please don't follow me as an example. I'm just kind of sharing illustration because maybe the Lord will use this. But when the guys cutting my grass who don't speak English come out, I will look up a phrase on Google that I can greet them. I take them a bottle of water, and I always say, ask them where they're from, and then I say welcome.
Hmm.
I don't think they're probably illegals because they're working for a company and they get a paycheck or whatever. But even if they were, the difference, a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, that's where I got that idea, and a warm greeting can change their perspective on what God may be doing in their life.
Yes.
They may no longer feel unwelcome. They may feel welcome. And what that may do is give them hope. And you know, the hope that comes with Christ is not confined by national borders.
Mm.
So if they do get deported,
yes.
The one thing they can remember is that while I was in America, some guy who, you know, had a Life Fellowship bumper sticker on their car gave me water and welcomed me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's just so many simple things that we can do. And Dan, the other thing I would add is this. I think we need to let the Word of God shape our minds more than Fox News CNN and MSNBC, whatever it is, or the website that you go to, whether it's Drudge Report or whatever it is. Stop allowing the media to shape your thinking on these issues. I'll tell you what, you know what most American Christians have never done? Study the word immigrant or refugee in Scripture.
Yeah.
Because God has something to say about that. In fact, one of the reasons why God sent Israel there's a number of reasons, but one of the explicitly he expresses is because you abused the immigrant and refugee among you.
Hmm.
You took advantage of them. And that was one of the reasons why they went into exile. God does not, I mean, Ruth was a perfect example of a refugee who came back to the land of Israel, who was embraced by the community. There's just so many examples in Scripture of God saying, love these people that need to be loved. Love people on the fringes. Love people that don't have a protected status. Love people who are different, because that's who I am.
Mm.
That's who I am. That's that. If you want to know my heart, I love those people. And if we only love the people that can help us get to where we want to go, that's not Jesus.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of things that we need to be doing to let the Word of God shape our hearts more. But I can definitely say that my experience in Germany helped me to rethink some things on church, on ministry, on refugees, on how to just simply love our neighbor. And I'm forever thankful for that experience.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that, man, because, you know, that's one of the great things, the benefits of going to another country to serve the Lord is that, for me, he always teaches me something that I didn't anticipate being taught.
Yeah.
Secondly, he allows me to get outside of my narrow worldview, which is very American.
Yeah.
The third thing is when I come back, I'm never the same.
Yes.
And so I'm thrilled for your opportunity. And by the way, thank you for taking our teens. I mean, you're a busy guy, and to be able to go over there and do that, that was wonderful. I know the kids' lives have been changed. And I just want to say to our listeners, if you've not been on a missions trip, it'd be a good idea to go do that sometime. It'll change your life. Another thing I just want you to consider is let's look around us this week. Look for the person who looks a little frightened, a little out of place, who may be here and you know they're from somewhere else. And would you please, in the name of Jesus, considering being salt and light to them, being a bearer of grace, and most importantly, being a bearer of the gospel. Do that. I guarantee if you do, what God will do in your heart, what the Holy Spirit will affirm in your heart is not going to be negative. It's going to be positive.
That's right.
And who cares? Who cares? No one's going to care in 120 years what a single person on this planet called their national identity, because we're all going to be in eternity.
So
in 120 years, there's not a person alive on this planet will still be alive. So with that in mind, let's think about the future. Let's not be trapped by our past. Let's think about the future. Let's be salt and light to even those who are here, and they may have got here differently than we did. So it's been another issue of another episode of our podcast here, Life Talks. Thank you so much for listening. Share us, if you would, on your social media network. And until next time, this has been Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.